I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We have the latest in our short essay celebrating Black History Month coming up in a few minutes. Today's focus is on a civil rights leader whose name we think you'll want to know if you don't know it already. But first, we're going to continue our focus on the secret lives of families, or often hidden aspects of American family life. As we just discussed, new numbers from the Census Bureau show an increase in the number of same-sex couples who are raising children. That's across the country, but especially in metropolitan areas in the South, which now boast some of the highest percentages of same-sex couples with children in the country. We wanted to talk more about this, so we've called upon Sarah Warbelow. She's state legislative director for the Human Rights Campaign, which advocates for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights. Also with us, Rocky Galloway. He and his partner are fathers to 2-year-old twin girls. And with us from Houston, Texas, is Tim Surratt. He and his partner are the fathers of an adopted 17-year-old boy and a 4-year-old daughter. I welcome all of you. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
So, Sarah, why don't you just start off by painting a picture for us? What's the scope of same-sex parenting around the country, and how widespread is the phenomenon?
It's incredibly widespread. In 96% of counties throughout the United States, same-sex couples are raising children. And sometimes those children come into families because one of the parents is the biological parent and the other parent is looking to adopt. And in other circumstances, the couple is looking to adopt together a child who is not biologically related to them.
Now, I think that one of the things that I think was surprising to many people about these new numbers is that the states that have legally sanctioned same-sex marriage tend to be in the Northeast, like, you know, Massachusetts. And so people would think that would be the place where the numbers are larger. But the largest increase is in southern metropolitan areas. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a real emphasis on family throughout the South, which is not to say that people in the North or on the West Coast don't care about their families. But the focus on having a family and having a family being part of what defines you as successful is much greater throughout the South. Couples in the Northeast and on the West Coast, regardless of sexual orientation, tend to focus on career early in their lives and wait a little bit longer to become parents, if becoming parents at all.
Rocky, why don't you jump in here? You were raised in Mississippi, and you're living in Washington, D.C. now. Why did you want to be a parent?
It's something I've always wanted to do. Being raised in Mississippi in the Deep South, family was very important to us, and it remains important to us. And so I always knew that children would be a part of my life.
You did, even though when you came out as a gay man, that you felt that was still going to be part of your life?
I felt that there was still – I have guard children, and I felt that children would still be a part of my life. I just didn't know how it manifests. And once I met my partner and we decided something we wanted to bring into our lives, it all happened, and it's just been – it's been really wonderful.
Big change, though, right?
Huge change. bringing twin girls into your lives when you already have full lives, it's been amazing.
Tim, what about you? You and your partner have 2 children you adopted, but as you were telling us earlier, your son first came to you when you were a single dad. Would you mind telling us why you wanted to be a parent?
You know, I was in my 30s, and I was just thinking, you know, for a few years, and this was 20 years ago, I'm 50 now, but I was just thinking about how, you know, my life is enriched by the families that are around me, and I've started talking to my lesbian friends, starting dropping the hints that, you know, if they wanted to have a baby, I'm here to help type thing. And of course, they were starting to move further away from me. And about 15 years ago, it wasn't as popular for gays to have families unless they had been married to a straight person and then had a family. And next thing I knew, after talking about it so much, all of a sudden I had the opportunity from a family member to adopt and really rescue a child, and it's been a great experience, and that's how it started.
Well, you know, there are some states that have actually moved legislatively, Sarah, maybe this is a question for you, to try to stop same-sex couples or same-gender-loving individuals as single parents from adopting children. Has that legislative effort, it seemed like that got a lot of attention in recent years, has that stopped?
No, it's continuing. And in fact, this year alone, we've already seen 3 states that are introducing bills to limit adoption, either to married couples or at least to prohibit unmarried cohabitating couples from being able to adopt.
Is there any regional theme to where these legislative initiatives are taking place? Is that all over the country or is it mainly in one part of the
country?
They
are disproportionately throughout the South. Areas like Arizona, Kentucky, Tennessee, and then places like Utah, Mississippi already have these laws in place.
I want to ask Rocky and Tim, both of you, this question. When you first started thinking about becoming a parent, did you think about kind of the legislative climate or thinking whether the jurisdiction or the part of the country you lived in would support you as a family, as a parent? Was that part of your thinking or
that
not?
That was a shock. That was
Tim?
A shock to me because, you know, here my brother's girlfriend had this baby and she was born drug positive. There was all kinds of mess going on. It would have never occurred to me that they didn't think, you know, that he could come and live with me. You know, I'm very conservative. I work a regular job. I'm very active in the community. My whole life is dedicated to helping make other people's lives better. And it was quite shocking to me that George Bush was our governor at that time, and he was trying to pass a law to prevent gays from foster parenting, which was what I was going to have to do to my son, was to be a foster parent. That's how it started. And I thought that's so odd because I guess I'd rather him be in a crack house with or homeless than with a very stable home environment. It was very shocking.
Rocky, what about you? Now, you live in Washington, D.C., which is known as a pretty, what would you say, diverse
progressive
environment, progressive, tolerant environment.
Exactly.
A lot of same gender loving people have a lot of political power in the city for some
Certainly.
Time. And there's openly gay members of the city council, too.
Certainly.
And prior mayors, going back years, have been very supportive of the gay community. So perhaps that wasn't part of your calculation. But what about sort of more broadly neighbors, friends, community, family?
And so the legislative landscape wasn't a big factor in it. What was concerning to us was the fact that we could do two-parent adoption. That was very important to us, not having to one party adopt and then having to do a second-parent adoption later. So fortunately, we live in D.C., and you can do two-parent adoption. So the legislative landscape didn't play a large role into it. We were focused on becoming parents, and our experience has been wonderful. People have accepted us as parents, and we've joined this whole new, broader community of parents and gotten the support and love and nurturing from that community.
Well, you know what? Also, I hope you don't mind my mentioning, Rocky, that you and your partner are both African American, and there is this notion that the African American community is less supportive of same-sex couples in general. Has that been your experience?
It has not. And I don't know whether we live in this bubble called Washington, D.C. or not, but it has just not been an issue for us. What we've found is that people get behind raising children. And when they see that's what's going on and they see that you're loving and caring and nurturing children, people get behind that. So some of the things that on the outside, on the borders, they fall away. People certainly they embrace us and they help us, they support us, they offer us advice, whether we take it or not, and we move forward.
We were talking with Brian Powell earlier about his research into this question. He says that there's actually this interesting dichotomy in the African-American community that on paper, a lot of African-Americans will say that they don't believe that homosexuality is right or that they feel it's wrong, but on an interpersonal level, are actually very supportive.
Certainly.
Particularly where kids are involved, which is, come on over.
Exactly.
Is that your experience?
That's my experience, certainly, because in the African-American community, we've always had extended families. So we've had aunts and uncles and grandparents caring for our children, and some of those have been gay, and so it's a part of the fabric of our community. Always has been and always will be.
We're continuing today's focus on the secret lives of families or the hidden lives of families or more broadly the American family today and aspects of family life that we may not talk very much about. Our guests are Sarah Warbelow of the Human Rights Campaign. She works on legislative issues involving the parenting rights of same-gender loving people. We're also talking about with two fathers who with their partners are parenting. Rocky Galloway is a dad in Washington, D.C., and Tim Surratt is a dad in Houston. Tim, what about you? Have you had any pushback against your being a parent?
You know, for the most part, it's been really great, but one experience recently that we had was when we were applying to a private high school in Houston, Texas, and my son is extremely bright and very articulate and very athletic, and they really wanted him until they called me and said, we do want your son. We have a place for him in this private school. And I said, that's great. I just want to be sure you know that, that he does have two dads. And I think that's important for you to know. We're not going to be in your face or anything. We just want you to know just because we like to live openly and we're proud of who we are. And literally on the telephone, she stopped completely and said, we have no place for groundbreaking. We have no place for you or your family or your son in our school, and sorry, we're not going to allow him to go to our school.
What?
And this was 3 years ago in Houston, Texas. And I was so floored, and it was so unexpected that I wish I had recorded it, but who would have thought that such a thing would be said in this day and age? And on the flip side of that, our son is in a private Catholic school, and they had exact opposite reaction. When we told them, they said, tell us what to do. We'll talk openly about it. We'll let the people know. You're our first gay parents ever, which wasn't the case because we knew gay parents that were already there. But, you know, I guess we were the first ones to just let people know, hey, we're gay. We're not going to be any different than anyone else, but we just want you to let you know in case something comes up, you know, let us know and we'll help you handle it. And so it was very surprising.
Tim, and you don't mind my asking this or pointing this out, I hope, that you are white.
That's correct.
And your partner is also white.
He is, and our children are both Caucasian,
Your children are both also Caucasian. And I'm just wondering if that plays a role in your feeling a need to tell people up front that you are two dads. Maybe you could help us understand, like, why you feel a need to say to people, you need to know.
That's a good question. I don't know why I need to. I think I've been so politically active my whole life and just wanting to be part of the process. And when we first brought our son to school when he was in kindergarten, the teacher separated him from the class because she thought the class would get AIDS. And so we were very early on. I mean, we were on the news and the newspapers, you know, when I first adopted him, because not very many gay people had adopted kids. And so we just like to explain to people what our lives are like in case they have questions. It'd be no different than if I had cancer. I would tell people, hey, I have cancer. I just want you to know. And so you don't have to talk around it. You're welcome to talk to me about it if you have questions and things like that. I just want to make the road easier for the people behind me. And I think that's why I bring it up.
What about your kids, though? How do you think they understand their circumstances? Obviously, you are equipping them and arming them with what they need, as all parents do. But how do you think they feel?
I think they feel great about it. We've made them very proud because we're not ashamed of who we are, and we're not out there raising a flag and walking with a flag about it. We're just proud of who we are, and it's just such a small part of who I am being gay. More than that, I'm a dad, I'm a friend, I'm a neighbor. There's so many other things to who I am other than being a gay dad. But we equip them with it. We've spent a lot of time. My son has been to 17 national human rights dinners. He's been to all kinds of things from the human rights campaign to educate him on how to respond when his friends talk about him having gay dads. And most of the time, we're very, very, very active in the school. So the kids love us and know us. So I think if people know you, they're less likely to discriminate against you.
Rocky, what about your final thought from you? Do you feel in a way that you, like Tim says, he feels in a way that he's a pioneer, right? And a pioneer, he also feels, I think I'm a little bit putting words in his mouth, and feels a responsibility to be a role model.
Right.
Do you feel that way?
I do. I do, actually, because we were the second couple to get married in D.C. last year. And that was a very important step for us to take. And we took it primarily because we wanted to give a face to this movement that was happening in D.C. I mean, people tend to think of it as a white, gay, male movement. And here we are, two African-American men who live in D.C., who are raising two beautiful daughters. Who could have a problem with that? And who wouldn't want our families to be treated the same as any other family?
Sarah, I'm going to give you the final word and ask you, what's the next frontier here? Do you see, what do you see in the legislative landscape? So much of our conversation last year was in the move toward sanctioning same-sex marriage, but we see now five states in the District of Columbia already permitting same-sex marriage, but we see some effort on the part of the new Congress to intervene in that in the District of Columbia in any way. We talked about that on the program earlier this week. What legislatively, what are the major trends that you see?
We're going to see a real divide. So in many places across the country, Illinois, for example, the governor just signed a civil unions law earlier this week. And we're seeing several other states move towards marriage equality, civil unions. And then on the other hand, we are seeing, along with some interest from the federal government, states moving negative legislation, making it harder for same-sex couples to care for their families and raise their children.
To be continued, Sarah Warbelow is State Legislative Director for the Human Rights Campaign. She's also a mom. We should mention that. And she joined us in our Washington, D.C. studio with Rocky Galloway, who, with his partner, is raising two-year-old twin daughters. And Tim Surratt joined us from Houston, Texas, who, with his partner, is raising a 17-year-old boy and a four-year-old girl. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.